And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. On today's program, we're going to be examining Bible prophecy in a very, very significant way. You know, periodically, over the 20 years of this ministry, on just a few occasions, I have felt led by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to look ahead at the coming year and see what events are going to be cast in our path by God, but also the works of Satan attempting to thwart the will of God and to persecute God's people here on earth. And for the year 2007, I meditated on the year coming up, and nothing really came to me. I didn't really feel a leading from the Lord prior to the year. You know, usually about November, December, I asked the Lord to give me a look ahead, and I didn't seem to get a leading, and so I just went about my business. And this last week, however, God seemed to put things into my head and say, tell the people about these things. I don't know why. You'll have to decide for yourself. Now, I'm not saying these are prophecies that I'm going to talk about when I talk about the names of some men here on earth and some events. But I'm going to tell you some Bible prophecies today that are right out of the Bible, and I know they are real. So I'm not going to give you exactly a timetable and say this or that will happen this year, 2007, and we're already into 2007. I'm a little bit late. It would have been, I can't, encapsulate the whole year, but because I just received the leading from the Holy Spirit, and what do we have, about 10 months left in the year, but nevertheless, it's interesting to me that God has put it on my heart to talk to you about these things. I consider you my friends, and you know, the book of Daniel, and I've said it again and again, is one of my favorite verses. Daniel 12 verse 10 says, in the last days the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They won't understand the events of the last days. But it says there in the Bible, but the wise shall understand. How are we wise? Not in our own deceitful ways, no. I mean, don't try to be wise in your own mind, but by recognizing God's word as true and then letting that word direct your paths, I believe that is the path to true wisdom. And that's what I'm going to do here, talk to you about today. I want to title today's discussion with you, and that's what I see. I see you as my friend. You're part of the ministry. There's Tex Mars and Wanda Mars. I like to say that she's the boss. Then I have the staff here to help me. And then I have you as my partners and my good friends. You're more than just a partner. You're a friend of mine. Everyone who is a subscriber to our newsletter, who listens to this radio program, I consider my friend. I have a lot of friends. Not as many as the world has, those in the world, but I'm talking about those who love the truth. I consider you my friend. So this is a nice, friendly discussion, a look at Bible prophecy and some amazing things that are happening right now that I know God wants you to know about. Now, you'll have to pray yourself and ask him exactly how your life fits in. Because you see, I think God has a destiny for you. He has a calling for you. There is something you must do this very year, 2007. Every day when you wake up, I believe you should say, God, lead me into the paths that you wish me to follow today. Set my agenda. And boy, your life will be magnificent if you do that. And looking at Bible prophecy, I want you to understand there are a lot of heinous, horrible things that will happen in the last days. And we're especially going to target in the book of Revelation, but some others as well. And when you read Revelation, it's just mind numbing. I mean, it's get your hair on end. I guess I've read the book of Revelation so many times that I don't have that feeling of the wow factor anymore. But nevertheless, I cannot read the book of Revelation without seeing the impending doom of the whole structure of the world. And yet, the message of Revelation is of hope. Because the Bible says we, God's people, will end up as the overcomers. So I want to start by calling you, dear friend, an overcomer. And I, because I believe in the Bible and Jesus Christ, am also an overcomer. So we should never forget. And that's why I want you to know the title of today's discussion is Blood Red Prophecy 2007. And that sounds so frightening. And yet, remember, God has his protection shield on the lives of each one of us who know him. We don't work for the devil. He's not our boss. Really, we're pilgrims. We're aliens, you might say, here on earth. And the devil doesn't want to give us amnesty for being an illegal alien. He wants to punish us. He wants to give us the extreme penalty of termination. Well, he's not going to get his way. He's a loser, a pitiful, weak loser. So I wanted to tell you that up front. That's the great news. Now, I received a news release from some good friends over in Europe recently. Got a lot of good people in Great Britain, Australia, and other places, Spain, sending me stuff. And this is a news release actually dated October 13th, I think an interesting date, 2006, from Brussels, Belgium. And it's from the spokesperson, the news release is, of the Secretary General of the European Community, Mr. Javier Solana of Spain. Comes from his office. He is also, by the way, not only the Secretary General of the European Community, but he is the High Representative for the Council of Europe. Quite an interesting title. Secretary General and High Representative. Let me just read it to you. And by the way, it has the flag of Europe now. They have their own flag, and it's a solid background with a simple circle or ring of 12 stars. And I think that's prophetically significant, but today I don't have time to get into that. But let me just read you what the headline of this news release. It's very short, but it says, Javier Solana, EU, that's European Union, High Representative, congratulates Mr. Ban Ki-moon, that's Ban-Ki, first name, last name, Moon, on his appointment as United Nations Secretary General. Mr. Moon, you see, beginning this year, has taken over the position that was formerly held by Kofi Annan. And now we have Mr. Moon as Secretary General of the United Nations. Bill Clinton was lobbying for the job, but he didn't get it. I believe that he's got other things on his cooker for the Illuminati, including helping out in the election campaign of his wife, big sister, Hillary Clinton, who's running for president. So Bill didn't get picked as the new Secretary General of the United Nations. Maybe he will be next. Meanwhile, we have a moon. I thought about the Moonies and was there any connection with Mr. Ban Ki Moon and Reverend Moon, Sun Myung Moon. Isn't that an interesting name? The cultist, head of the cult called the Moonies, Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Sun and the Moon. But as far as I can tell, there is no connection. I did a lot of research, by the way, on Mr. Moon, and I discovered that he says he was asked about his religious preference, and he almost bristled. He seems a very laid-back man. He's not a very aggressive guy, but when he was asked about his religious beliefs, he got quite indignant at the press conference and refused to answer and said, I don't think my religion has any relevance to my job. I thought that was quite interesting because every Secretary General before now has talked about the spiritual principles of the United Nations and so forth. But his representatives in his office told me that Mr. Moon is in fact a Christian. He is a member of a Christian sect, but they refused to give the name of it. A sect. S-E-C-T. Is it the Moonies? I don't know. Maybe that's why he calls himself Moon. Maybe he's, who knows, a son or a cousin or something of Reverend Moon. We just don't know. He refuses to talk about it. Of course, Moon himself will tell people sometimes he is a Christian, even though Reverend Moon says that Jesus failed in his mission and that he, Reverend Moon, and his wife are now the Holy Family, and they are the Messiahs on earth, and they've come forth to teach us all how to become gods. Now, that's pretty wicked and evil and crazy enough, but all I know now is that Mr. Moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, is a member of a Christian sect. You know, many of the Korean Christians, unfortunately, have mixed their Christian faith with the pagan tribal religions of the Korean people prior to the introduction of Christianity. So you get people such as Paul Yong-Yi Cho, who claims to be the pastor of the largest Christian church, 400,000 members, including its house cells. He is an Assembly of God pastor, Mr. Paul Yong-Yi Cho of Korea, the best known minister in Korea, and a friend of Robert Schuller and Benny Hinn and all the others. But Paul Yong-Yi Cho says that you can combine the magic and witchcraft of the ancient Korean tribal paganism with Christianity. He says, in fact, the best way to get things from God, is to use your mind powers to tap into the universal energy, to tap into a fourth dimension. In fact, he authored a book called The Fourth Dimension. He says the occultists do it, the witches do it, why shouldn't Christians do it? You can think your way to wealth using your mind to create reality. In fact, he brought Dr. Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral from California over to speak to his huge church in Korea. And Schuller said, I love this idea. The fourth dimension. Don't have to pray to Jesus. No, just use your mind and become like a god and tap into this universal consciousness. I began to think, Javier Solana, head of the European Union. They have their own money now. You can't get a mark. I mean, you can't spend marks in Deutschmarks in Germany. You can't spend, lira in Italy. They have the euro. And it seems that now the euro is beginning to replace the dollar in world markets. Of course, soon they say we won't have the dollar anymore. We're going to have the amaro, the new currency of the North American Union. I'll save that subject for another day as well. But I began to look at this. Javier Solana the European Union's High Representative and Secretary General, congratulating Mr. Moon on his appointment as United Nations Secretary General. And Solana, the very meaning of it, it's a, in Spanish, in Latin, is sun. The sun. Old man soul. S-O-L. Solana. But it's sort of a feminine version of the sun. So you have Mr. Sun congratulating Mr. Moon. Mr. Sun, head of Europe, the emerging great nation state, saying, congratulations, Mr. Moon. Now, could that be just a coincidence? On the eve of 2007? Let me read to you the press release. It says, Javier Solana today welcomed the election of Mr. Ban Ki-moon by the United Nations General Assembly as the next UN Attorney General. He said, quote, I warmly congratulate Mr. Ban Ki-moon on his election. His election comes at a crucial time for the United Nations and presents an opportunity to step up the drive for United Nations renewal. I look forward to working closely with Mr. Moon on the many challenges that we face on the international agenda. The European Union and the United Nations, says Mr. Solana, have developed a close partnership. The EU, he says, is committed to continuing this partnership and, where possible, strengthening it further. Now, this may seem strange to you and a little bit stretched and over the top, but let me ask you to think about something as a Christian Bible prophecy student, as we all are. The Bible, you see, has a lot to say about planetary and galaxial entities. Let's just call them that, entities. Now, we may look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the throughout the Milky Way as inanimate, unalive objects. I personally do. I look at the earth, even though the earth is alive in a sense, because there's, goodness, a gigajillion, living beings from ones you, they're so small, we probably don't have even a microscope able to see them to trees and all these living things and bushes and animals and human beings. Some people say even the space between you and the next object, the chair or whatever, or a person or your kitchen cabinet, wherever you're at, that it looks like space, but there are things in air that exist. I know sometimes when I go to the grocery store with Wanda and during winter and somebody coughs and they're standing next to me, I certainly put my hand over my nose and face. I can't necessarily see the particles, but I have a suspicion. There are things that are alive that I don't want to come in my body and make me sick. But the Bible seems to indicate for our educational purposes, and this is quite interesting, it seems to make the sun and the moon and the stars represent living beings. Let me give you some proof of that. Jesus, of course, is identified as the bright in the morning star. Now, we can say that's figurative. I certainly agree with that. It also said he's the bread of life. Is he a loaf of bread? Well, no, of course not. We see that as a figurative thing, figure of speech, a metaphor, maybe. So I'm not trying to say he's actually a loaf of bread. So he's the light of the world, but he's not a light bulb. You know, we understand all that. Nevertheless, it's interesting how the Bible, it even talks about that there was a rebellion in heaven. You remember Lucifer or Satan rebelled against God, and one third of the stars were cast down, cast out of heaven, cast down to earth. One third of the stars. Here we have devils, formerly angels, and they're identified as stars. Now listen, but I'm not trying to say that the star you see, the star Sirius, the star Orion, or in the Orion constellation, I'm not trying to say those stars are living entities. I'm just saying the Bible uses them to represent living entities. And as a matter of fact, the ancients who did not worship the one true God, and I have studied Babylonian and mystery Babylon religion and ancient Egyptian and Chinese and religions from all over the world throughout known time. I have studied their literature, and they worship the sun and the moon and the stars, but not as the sun, as a living deity. They believe there was a spirit, a living spirit, a deity, and the sun was his representation. You see, when I was a young child, people told me that the ancient people used to worship the sun, and I thought, how stupid. The sun is just a big orb or ball in the sky, and it gives us warmth and such, but it's not a god to be worshipped. How dumb can you get? And then others said to me, well, witches still today worship the moon. Well, how stupid, how ignorant are these witches? But what I have come to realize and understand from study of these evil, sinister groups and these ungodly religions going all the way back nearly to Cain, the time when Cain slew Abel, or Abel's, yeah, Cain slew Abel, right, there we go. What I have come to understand very clearly is that when the ancient people worship the sun, or even modern witches worship the moon, they're literally worshiping a deity, the sun god, the moon goddess. So when we see the Bible say something about these, it may be a very, very intelligent way to express these thoughts. The Bible, of course, says that God is separate from his creation. There's no heavenly body that can represent God. You can't look at a mountain and say, I'll worship that mountain as God. You can't look at the sun or the moon or some ancient planet in far away in space if through a telescope and say, I think I'll just worship that as God. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And friends, you can't see the spirit with your earthly eyes. With the physical eyes, you don't have the capability. God has not given us that. He may appear to you if he wants to, but he rarely does. He expects you to live by faith and not be a doubting Thomas. The fact is, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. The kingdom of God cannot be observed by human observation, Jesus said. It's like the wind. It goes wherever it wants, and you can't even see it, but you feel it. And friends, we can feel God in our hearts. And I believe that those who are possessed by devils can feel the devil in the soul of their being. I want to give you some Bible scriptures. Then we're going to turn back to Mr. Moon and Mr. Sun, Solana, and see how this may be leading into some things for this year. As we look at Blood Red Prophecy 2007. Now, later on you may want to go, because I'm going to go very fast through these, so you may want to write these Bible verses down, or you may want to order the audio tape or the CD of this program and get these and study them yourself later on. We're going to look at 2 Kings, and I hope I have time to do all this, 2 Kings 23, verse 5, Job 31, verse 26, Psalm chapter 148, verse 3, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 23, and Ezekiel 8, verse 16. And then finally, we're going to go to the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 24. We start with 2 Kings. And it's interesting here in 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 5. This is what King Hosea did during those days. It says, first of all, we'll go with verse 4 and let me summarize it. It says, the king, King Hosea, commanded that all of the vessels that were in the temple of the Lord that were used to worship Baal instead of the true God, and they worshiped the host of heaven, that's the stars, and he burned them all of the idols that they had. They used to worship the host of heaven and Baal. He had them all burned. Verse 5 says, and he put down the idolatrous priest. See, King Hosea was acting for God, and he was sick of all the abominations of the synagogue of Satan that had arisen there. It says, and King Hosea put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. He put them down. All those that had worshiped the sun and the moon and the planets and all the host of heaven. And by the way, verse 7 is interesting. It says, and he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Right next to the house of the Lord, the temple of God, they have not only brought in all this horrible worship of the sun and the moon and the stars and the host of heaven, they set up a house of sodomy, a prostitution for homosexuals, a brothel right next to the temple. Well, King Hosea took care of that job. You know, every once in a while, God just needs. He calls somebody and says, get rid of the abominators. Do something about it. I wonder when we're going to have this in the Christian church today, where God says, okay, I'm sick and tired of that sodomite mess in the Christian church. Get rid of it. Maybe he's going to call somebody for that job. I pray that he will. I wouldn't mind having the job myself. I'm getting to be a little older than some, but maybe he'll call a young man. Maybe you listening to me out there will answer that call. Hey, listen to what Job said. Job was a very godly man, a righteous man. He didn't deserve all the punishment he got that Satan heaped on him. And here's how faithful he was to God in a time, no doubt, when people worshiped the sun and the moon. Job chapter 31, verses 26 through 28. Job said, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If you worship the sun or the moon, you deserve punishment because you're denying the true God, said Job. We got a lot more when we return in just a minute, and we will be looking at some of the things that might happen. World War III, is it ahead? This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay right with us, friends. Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars. You know, I'm not going to offer a book to you today. I usually do, or a video to give you the opportunity to get some of the tremendous resources that we have. But instead, I want to talk to you from the heart today. You know, it is very rare when I ask directly for money, for love gifts. But I'm going to do that today. Hope you don't turn the radio dial right now, because I want to explain myself. You know, we've had our ministry here for 20 years. This is our 20th year anniversary, 2007. And there's one thing that we've never had for our people. Now, I want you to understand something. We only have, there's Wanda and Tex Mars here, and we only have 6 employees working for us. Now, we have a lot of people help us, you know, that do printing outside and do production of tapes and all kind of, you know, the companies that help us. We contract out a lot of work. But in this ministry office, we only have 8 of us. That's all. We're a very small ministry. And I cannot believe it. I have been to ministries that are 3 or 4 times as big as ours, and we put out as much work and production as they do with just our small staff. I think that's how, you know, it's like the fishes and the loaves. God just seems to multiply. But I want to give credit to the staff that work for me here. You know, we really don't have any new employees. These folks have been here so long. We have Michelle and Sandra. They've been here almost since the inception of the ministry. I don't know, 15 years or something like that. Jerry has been here, I don't know, 8 years or 9. Phyllis has been here almost 5. Rosario, she's worked for us one way or another a decade or more. I mean, long time we've known her. Nelson, he's been with us 4 or 5 years too. Now, when you talk to people here, when you call up to order something or to ask for the newsletter, you're going to be talking to one of these folks. Or maybe Wanda. Michelle takes care of my talk show schedule. She's the business administrator. She helps Wanda out with the finances. She supervises things here, everybody in the ministry. Sandra, is producer of the radio show. She's the engineer. And by the way, she's our graphics person. All the pictures you see in the newsletter, she even formats the newsletter. You know, I write it and she puts it together. What a great job she does on that. Jerry, he takes care of our website. If you ever go on our websites, we've got 5 or 6, but powerprophecy.com and conspiracyworld.com are the 2 top ones. He does all of that. He handles all the emails, keeps up all the mailing list. Phyllis, well, we like to kid her and say that she takes care of the pets. We have a pet cat that we adopted here, the poor little orphan, and we brought it in, and she makes sure the cat is fed, and then she voluntarily, much out of her own pocket, goes out and feeds all the deer that collect in our backyard. Got a lot of deer and other critters that come up, and she seems to keep them well fed, as well as the birds. But of course, she keeps up the mailing list. She answers a lot of the phone calls. When you call, you get Phyllis. Rosario, man, she is a shipping whiz. She makes sure yours. Have you ever noticed something about her orders? When you order something from the normal company or ministry, they have a little message down there. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Hey, not here at this ministry. Let me tell you what we do. I respect you too much to make you wait. And our people do too. We want you to have this information. We don't want it to be delayed. We're not going to take 4 to 6 weeks. Here's what happens. We get your mail in. The very next morning, first thing, we open up all the mail. We process it. And by the next day, it's out the door. I don't know of anybody that does that in America. Time Life Books, nobody does that. But that's our guarantee to you. Now, we can't tell the post office what to do. They may take too long. You know, they may take 2 weeks. I hope not. They shouldn't take that long. They should take just 3 or 4 days. But that's, you know, we don't have any recourse on that. But I'll tell you one thing. Our people here, we work hard. And I want to tell you about Rosario. These are just little bitty side things. Sometimes most of the time on Friday, when all the postman's already come, let's say he comes at 2 o'clock. Well, she's still back there packing orders. She and Nelson working in the back, and they have all these books and newsletters and things to go out. Rather than letting them sit, Nelson and Rosario in the shipping, they will personally take them to the post office in their own car. But sometimes they fill up the back of the trunk in the back seat, bringing packages and letters and everything to the post office. And it's not next door. The post office is quite a long distance. Because they know that if these things can get in the mail, they're going over the weekend to you. And maybe you can get them the next Monday or Tuesday. They don't wait. They don't just let it all sit here. Many times the mail we get on Friday, we'll open that day and try to process it, especially before a long holiday weekend. We get these things going in the mail to you as fast as we can. So these are some of the things. Nelson takes care of our facility, keeps it up. He helps to make the tapes on the tape machine. I'm just giving you a little piece of the puzzle here. And my folks have really, I can't tell you, you know, we've had things, we had a flood. One evening, we had so much rain, I couldn't believe it. We just built a new addition onto our facility here, and we were using it for shipping. Another, 900 square feet, Sandra, because Sandra was in charge of getting it built, in fact. And I just had a funny feeling. Maybe it was from the Lord. I suspect it was. And I decided to come in about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night and check the building, make sure everything was okay. So I drove here from my home and I found out that our whole new shipping department was being flooded. Boy, and I called up some of our staff and they didn't quibble. It was nighttime and they came in and they had to move all these boxes so they wouldn't get wet, and we worked like crazy, and it took us a couple of weeks to get everything back in order, and we had to clean up all the mess of the flood. Then, you know, was it a year and a half ago or so, we had the lightning strike. And boy, we had to work overtime on that. And you know, I haven't had any employees here when I asked them. In fact, I don't even have to ask. If we have something going on and a person is supposed to leave at 5, but they need to stay till 5:30 or 6 o'clock, they just stay. I have a number that will do that. And you know, you can't get good employees like that, especially people who love the Lord and want to do what's right. I'm just blessed. I don't deserve to have a staff this good. Now listen, let me tell you what I want you to help me on. And I'm taking a little time because I wanted you to know. I've never introduced all my employees to you like this. I don't even really call them employees. They're my friends here too. They're our staff. And they work for you as well as me. You are their bosses, as well as Tex Morris. And Wanda, now listen, let me tell you something. One of the things that I have noticed is we don't pay our employees as much as a big corporation like Dell Computers or Microsoft. We try to do what's right, though. But one thing we've never been able to really afford is medical insurance. You know, some of these workers are getting a little older in years. They have no medical insurance. I don't know what would happen if Michelle or Sandra or Rosario got sick and it was something very, very bad. I don't know how they would be. Not only would we miss them, but goodness gracious, no medical insurance. Now, I know I trust the Lord to take care of us, but praise God, we haven't had any major illnesses among our staff. It could happen at any time. But right now, they pay everything. They don't get 1 cent for their medical bills. And yet, some of these people have been with us well over 15 years. And you know, Juan and I just decided, we looked at our budget, and frankly, we didn't really have it in our budget. And I said to Wanda this very morning, I said, I'm going to go on the radio and talk to my friends. We need to protect these staff people, these people who work for you and me. We need to get them some medical insurance. And I want to ask for your help in that. Would you help us to set up a medical insurance fund? Would you? I know God would bless you because, you know, the Bible says blessed is he who helps to publish the word. It does. It says that in the Bible. I'll get it out and read it to you the next time we talk together, next week's program. I'll have that very verse ready for you. You're blessed when you help to publish the word, and we do that here. We defend the Bible. We defend God. We tell the truth. And yet we have employees that if they came down with cancer or diabetes, they would have to go bankrupt. They would have no way to pay their bills. We need your help. I want to set up a medical insurance fund. Now listen, this is not going to be for Wanda and I. We're going to be excluded from this. This is just going to be for our six staff members here, the people that serve you. Wanda and I, hey, I'm a retired Air Force guy and I have military insurance, health insurance. It doesn't pay for everything. Wanda and I have to get some supplemental and we have to get it out of our own pocket. But I don't want you to help Wanda and I today. We are not going to be included. But I want you to have the opportunity to help. Now, if you would like to help with our medical insurance fund for these six staff people, not for Tex Mars now, please send us a check or a love gift, a money order or cash, whatever amount God leads you. And please make sure there's a little sticky note on it or in the four section of the check put down medical. Just say, this is for the medical techs. And we'll put it into that fund. And we're going to use it to get medical insurance. Now, I know medical insurance is high as can be. And we may not be able to get, you know, something that covers them totally. But just their basic needs, if they're hospitalized, go to the doctor and at least some kind of a copay arrangement. I don't know what we can, it all depends on how much you give. Dear friends, so if you would like to give to this medical insurance fund that will go to these six staff people, these loyal people, they have served you, they have served me, they have served God for years and years. Couldn't we do something for them? Please help us on this, okay? Again, your love gifts, your offerings, and designate it for the medical fund, or just medical, and we'll know what you mean, and send that to this address. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, that's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, if you'd like to make an offering by phone and use your charge card, you can do that. And again, when you talk to the receptionist here, one of these people here will get the call, in fact. Say, I want this to go to the medical fund for the medical insurance. And they can take that and from your charge card and charge it to your charge card. MasterCard, Visa, Discover. To do that, just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And I want to tell you one other little secret, perhaps you may not know. A lot of people say, well, don't you get enough by selling your books, tapes, and videos? Friends, we just did our tax return, and I want to tell you, we actually lost money in our sales. We lost money. We have red ink. We do not make money from sales here. We offer these things as a service to you. We actually lost money doing it in the last year. In fact, I remember I was just telling Wanda, I said, you know, Wanda, since the year 1999, I remember specifically, I think we've only cleared things, you know, in other words, quote unquote, you made money. I mean, in other words, over expenses, 1 year out of, in the last seven. 6 out of 7 years, we've lost money. How do we exist? Through your love gifts and offerings. And that's how we're going to help these people with medical insurance, through your love gifts and offerings. The same way we keep this radio program going, our newsletter going out, our website, and we're making incredible progress. You wouldn't believe the changes through God's help and yours. Okay, now let's continue our program today. I want to thank you again, though, for all of the help that you give. And I'm going to pray that God will bless you for giving. And friends, you cannot outgive Jesus Christ. Give to His work. And I'm telling you, He knows how to reward you with spiritual blessings, riches that will be unmeasurable. Okay, now we're talking about the sun and the moon. We don't have much time left today, but we might have to go next week in this because it's so vital. Sun worship. Ezekiel 8 verse 16 talks about it. Ezekiel writes, "Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these." You see, Ezekiel was taken by the Lord into the temple of God, where they were supposed to be worshiping the God. But he found that secretly they were worshiping the devil. And here's how. Verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun. Verse 17 says, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? Verse 18, God says, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Worshipping the sun, abomination, angering God. And they did it in secret. People thought these were the high priests. They were worshiping the true God, but they were worshiping the sun. Isaiah also talks about this, chapter 24, verse 23. And now listen to this. This is so vital for you to get here at Isaiah 24, verse 23. This is about the last days. A snare is going to come upon the whole earth, every inhabitant. Incredible. Verse 19 says, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth, verse 20, shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And it shall fall and shall not rise again. The earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Friends, what is this? Some kind of a gigantic earthquake that'll multiply all over the earth with tsunamis and some kind of a gravitational pull from the heavens. Some kind of a horrible accident, not really an accident, but caused by God, is going to occur. Do you not realize that of the 6 billion inhabitants of the earth, probably the vast majority will be killed in this great upheaval, this catastrophe, this chaos that will happen to the earth. Verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones and the kings of the earth. They're going to be punished, the host of the high ones, those who claim to be the stars of God, but really were devils and were cast down, Satan and his workers, and the kings of the earth, the politicians who work for the devil, God is going to punish them. Verse 23 says, listen to this. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. The moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed. Well, that's like a human being or like an entity, a living entity. I mean, rocks and dirt are not confounded. Rocks and dirt are not ashamed. Those are emotions. Those are feelings. But that's what it says in the last days. The sun is going to be ashamed and the moon is going to be confounded. I wonder, we have a Mr. Moon, Secretary General of the United Nations. I think I might have mentioned he was Attorney General of the United Nations. I must have been thinking about our Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Gonzalez. No, Mr. Moon is Secretary General of the United Nations. And Mr. Solana, Mr. Sun, is head of the European Community that may overtake America someday as the most prominent nation or confederation on this planet. And by the way, not only the sun is going to be ashamed and the moon is going to be confounded, but in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, verse 24 of chapter 13, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. things happening with the moon and the sun. Verse 25 says, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. Wow. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give light. The Masons are always saying, more light. We need more light. Ah, I can see why the Masonic Lodge would cry out for that. Because the sun is going to be darkened. The moon will not give her light. The devil says, I am an angel of light. Believe in me. The occultists, Alice Bailey of the Lucis Trust and all the others, worship Satan as the solar logos. The sun. And the stars of heaven, of course, represent Satan's angels. Now, let me tell you about 2007. First of all, it is a 666 beast year. 2 + 7 = 9. Within 9 is concealed 666. Let me tell you why. 6 + 6 + 6 = 18. Occult numerologists add the 1 and the 8 and it comes up with a product of 9. Now, you don't count the zeros in any numerological configuration. So 2007 = 9 = 666 = 18 or 1 = 8 = 9 again. Remember, 2001, by the way, actually, not 2000, but 2001, astronomers say, was the first year of the millennium, 2001. That's exactly 6 years from 2007, which has a numerical code of 9. We have 6 years from the turn of the century into the beast year 666. Now, what could possibly go wrong in the year 2007? First of all, we have the Council on Foreign Relations. It has set a new goal. One of its top members, Professor Samuel Huntington, in the CFR Journal, Foreign Affairs, had an article some years ago called The Clash of Civilizations. He talked about how as a new world order develops, civilizations will clash. Two of them will be the Muslims and the Christians, for example. Religions will clash. There will be a clash between those who want the nation state, like the patriots in the United States, and those who are bringing us into the world government state. We've already seen blood red. And by the way, if you want to see what I'm talking about here, Revelation 12 talks about some incredible thing happening in the last days. A great red dragon will appear. Is that figurative speech? Dragon is the devil. A great red dragon. The Bible in the book of Revelation also talks about the people being scorched by the heat of the sun. It says the moon will be blood red. You read about that in Revelation 6, where it talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the seals being opened up by Jesus Christ. Only the Lamb of God being worthy to open up the seals. Is that seal now to be opened? Because here we have incredible things happening. The sixth seal. Read Revelation 6 verse 12. It says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The sun became black, the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. 15, and the great kings of the earth, the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16 says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The sixth seal, an earthquake. Heaven departing like a scroll. Every mountain and island moved out of their places. Don't tell me about global warming and climate changes and things are going to happen on this earth. I'm telling you about everything ending in an incredible bang. You want to talk about a scientific Big Bang theory? Read Revelation 6 verses 12 through 17. But back to the sun and the moon. The blood red dragon bringing death. Because we had already read in Revelation 6 about the four horsemen. It says of the fourth beast, he says, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Death. Now we have Mr. Javier Solana. I tried to find Mr. Solana. They call him Javier Solana. There's six digits in the word Javier. Six in Solana. His full name, actually, though, according to the research I've done, is Francisco Javier Solana Madariaga. It's interesting, he was born, Mr. Solana, was born on July 14th, 1942. I had just added the digits together. July the 7th month, the 14th day of 42. They come to 63. 6 times 3 equals 18. 1 plus 8 equals 9. Again, we get to the supreme number of occultism. The number of the beast, 666, and the date that he was born. And his name, as I said, Javier Solana, they call him a six and a six. Could he be the Antichrist? There are a few people asking me that question. I don't know. The Holy Spirit hasn't told me that, has it you? But he has all the qualifications. I wish I had time today. You would not believe this man is a member of the Socialist Party. He was Secretary General of NATO when they carried out the bombing operations in Bosnia and Yugoslavia. He was criticized for his wantonness, his willingness to bomb innocent civilians in Eastern Europe as Secretary General of the United Nations. Now he's the top politician in all of Europe, this member of the Socialist Party. And then there's Mr. Moon. Remember, the United Nations has already set up a world court. They want a world tax. They want to be able to tax you. They want a world environmental authority. They already have a world food authority. Control the food, control the environment. Be able to tax you as they will. A world court. It puts you away. And Moon will head it all. And Sun will be over in Europe. And we're in the year 2007. What will happen? I don't know. But I have a feeling it could be a blood red prophecy year. Well, this is Tex Mars. It's been a great pleasure having you with me today. As my dear friend, I want to pray and ask that you tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.